So good to see all of you here today. I appreciate the opportunity to come and be with you this week. And I hope that the time we spend together will be helpful and beneficial. And probably one of the greatest things I can say to you this morning that I think it will be a great week is that I am not Buck Chumley. So it should be great this week, and look forward to our studying together God's Word. I think it's quite ironic that the elders had asked me to talk about some digital technology. And I have on a digital microphone, digital recorder, have a digital advancement for a digital computer, and there might be a couple other things involved today. So I hope this won't come across hypocritical today as we talk about the digital technology, but it's something we do need to address, something we need to talk about. And what I want to begin with this morning, where's the clock? Do we have a clock?
It's 10:04.
You'll have to use your digital cell phone.
Okay. So when am I supposed to quit?
At 22.
You're one of the elders here, right? So like one of our elders back at Anderson. I don't know what that is. 22. All right. So I got 35 minutes. All right. So somebody out here needs to be responsible to give me a countdown. We got 5 minutes left. Let me know, okay? So I'll rush through the last 10 slides real fast, all right? All right. The theme for our week is going to be from Isaiah 55. This is a familiar text, but I want to use that to channel our thinking with the different lessons that we'll be presenting. It's really going to be kind of a two-part week. The first part, I'd say the first half lessons, four lessons, are going to be more directed toward the digital aspect. The last four lessons will be directed more to local congregational issues. So I hope that the week will be helpful and beneficial to you. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, and I'll be reading all week from the New American Standard Version, the text says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, than my thoughts than your thoughts." It's a great text to simply suggest to us that there are things that God says in His Word that may go a little bit against the grain of what we think. But if we will comply to God's Word, and we will listen to God, and we will obey God, it'll turn out good. It'll turn out better. It'll turn out the best. It'll turn out eternally great. So today, we want to talk a little bit about this digital addiction. I don't know if that cartoon represents any of us, but my guess is, to a degree, even me. Because we're so attached to so many digital things now. What I'd like to suggest to us as we get started, I'd like to talk a little bit about some terms. As we define the term, I would like to simply define digital. Digital, in an electronic context, and there are a number of definitions of digital. A digital device or a technology, a clock, computer, cell phone, etc. Now I think you realize that's what we're going to be talking about. Well, when we talk about the idea of addiction, we're talking about something that is compulsive. A compulsive need for and use of a habit-forming substance like heroin, nicotine, alcohol, or activity like gambling, pornography, the internet. When we stop to think about the idea of an addiction, many people that are addicted to whatever for a long period of time would be in the state of denial. You're not talking about me. You know, I'm not addicted. I can quit anytime I want to. Kind of attitude. So in the lessons that I'm going to present about digital addiction, we're not talking about people that use equipment for business. I'm not addicted to these things. It's not compulsive. We use them for the benefit of recording, being heard, advancing, etc.
They're tools.
They're tools is exactly right. And many of you probably use digital technology in tools in your work. So as I go along, I'll explain that and talk a little bit more about that. Just because you use some digital device doesn't mean you're sinning against God and I'm fixing to shoot at you, you know, from God's Word. But addiction aspect of it, the addiction part of it, the fact that you got to have it, you got to look, you got to be involved, you can't get away from it, that kind of thing. Well, when we look at this idea of digital addiction, then it's a compulsive need for and use of habit-forming activity, the internet, computer, cell phone, video games, etc. And video games may be, and cell phone may be a little bit more specific, especially to our young folks. I'm not going to be judgmental or a prejudice and just say because you're a young person you play video games. But I think I know quite a few young people, and most of them play video games. But I also have a 37-year-old son, and he plays video games. The addiction aspect of it has to do with you leave undone things that ought to be done and that you need to be doing, and you're playing a video game. And you can't tear yourself away from it. And that could be said of a computer, the internet, etc., etc. Well, do you have a digital addiction? Well, probably most of us say, well, these lessons aren't even going to be for me. I don't have that. That's not my problem. You feel compelled to check your phone or play computer games throughout the day and feel anxious, agitated, or depressed if you can't. Can you set the digital device down and not touch it for a long period of time? Do you feel like it's a magnet and it's drawing you, and you have to look at it, all right? That's what we're talking about in regards to getting on the other side of it being a tool to it being compulsive, to it being addictive, all right? Now, when we stop to consider that, about 69% of parents and 78% of teens check their devices at least hourly. Does that sound like you? Do you have to check it hourly? Now, some of you are saying, well, you know, I use it for my work. I understand. I use it for my work, too. Brethren are constantly emailing me and texting me all the time. And so I'm checking it. And somebody's in the hospital, you know, I'm checking to see the updates and so forth. So just because you do check your phone hourly doesn't mean you're addicted. All right? But we're stopping to look and consider, are we using something more than a tool? Is the tool using me? There's a difference. 36% of parents feel they argue with their child on a daily basis about device use. Get off that phone. Will you get off that computer? Talk to us. Sound familiar, young people? Well, when we stop to consider the idea of digital addiction, the average American spends about 24 hours a week online, about 3.5 hours per day. You may spend more. You may spend less. Between the ages of 18 and 24, they check their cell phone 74 times a day. That sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But if you ever notice, there are a lot of people that are just constantly, wherever they are, if they're in Walmart, if they're Taco Bell, if they're driving their car, what are they doing? That adds up. between the ages of 5 and 16, spend about 6.5 hours per day looking at a screen. Now, screen would also include television. Okay? Television would include that. But then, there is a lot of information we find about ADHD and video games. I don't know that anybody knows for sure what causes that. There are lots of folks that even question whether or not that is an existent problem other than a disciplinary problem. But yet, there seems to be an issue with people's attention. In my years of preaching, I've noticed the difference in the way people pay attention to preaching. I have been preaching long enough that you could have preached an hour without any visual aids and people would be glued in. If you don't have a PowerPoint with some pictures, or if you don't walk around and do some jumping jacks in front of some brethren, after about 10 minutes, whew, they've checked out. We are very visually listeners today, more than ever. We have to see, we have to hear, we have to be, should I say, entertained? We have to have something that draws our attention to what needs to be said. Why do you think on Fox and all other stations, there are scantily glad women that are dressed immodestly, sitting in front of the TV in full view of their long legs, nakedly showing? Well, would there be people tuned in just to see the girl? What you think? We're visual. We're visual. We want to see. We want something to excite us. What are video games? What is television? What is our phones? What does it do? It's constantly giving us this adrenaline rush. So if a preacher doesn't have PowerPoint, and I don't know if Nick uses PowerPoint. Do you use PowerPoint? Okay, see, there you go. But, you know, you can come away thinking, you know, that was a boring... Why was that boring? Well, you know, I didn't like listening to him. Why didn't you like... Well, he didn't have any pictures. Right? Some surveys say that the average American spends 11 hours at a screen a day. 11 hours a day. Now, there's probably lots of you sitting here saying, well, that ain't me. Well, it might be a good idea if you just did this, and we'll mention this again, try to keep up with it. I have to keep up with my mileage in order to, when I file my income tax, that I can take mileage for business expense as an independent contractor. Well, I have to keep up with how many miles I go. You think it's possible for you to keep up how many hours you watch a screen? You might be surprised. Just maybe we're addicted and we don't even realize it. I saw that picture and I thought, okay, that's what I'm trying to say right there. You know, you can't hug one another without looking at your phone. I mean, give me a break. What is the deal? And I have, you have, probably have as well. Standing to have a serious conversation with someone and they're right in the middle of it, they grab their cell phone and they start looking at it and they're texting back while you're still having this serious conversation? Have you ever been tempted to grab it and throw it? I'm talking about our spouses. No, we'll move on. Digital technology can be very useful as a tool. My first chemistry class in college, I'd taken 2 years of chemistry in high school, and we learned how to use this. Most people don't even know what this is. It's a slide rule, right? When I got into college, I bought my first calculator. It was a Texas Instrument. Paid about $120 for that thing. Had scientific notation on it. Had trig functions on it. I mean, it was perfect for where I was going. All right? First chemistry class, teacher said, you can't use your computer or your calculators. We're going to use this. And I thought, dude, you are in the Stone Age. What is the deal? Got to use this. All right? Well, there was a guy, for whatever reasons, and I know what his reasons were. Well, what happens if that calculator or the battery goes out and you don't have a calculator? Do you have enough toes to count and do chemistry calculations? So we're going to use this, you know. And you're thinking, oh, man. I think the last test of the semester he let us use our calculator. Ah. They're great tools. They are great tools. My first computer for church work. Selectric typewriter. Newspaper article each week. Doing a bulletin once a month. On a Selectric typewriter. Had to change the ball when you wanted to do italic. Okay? It took for a long time to write anything. My first computer, Radio Shack, Tandy, had two drives, A and a B. A was the program, B was the data. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. Here I had this little screen, this little monitor, you know, and I could do things, and it was just revolutionary. It was Ilsa.
Had one color.
Yeah, black and white. Then I got an amber, you know. But it was great. I mean, it was a great tool. Today, sermon presentation. I mean, back in the olden days, nothing, far as maybe just a blackboard or a green board. Then the whiteboard came along with color markers. I mean, that was awesome. That really enhanced my preaching. I could write things in red. I mean, that was awesome. All right. Then I discovered the overhead projector. You know, use those little films and put them on there, you know, black and white. I could make those on a computer with my printer. It would print right on that plastic. And I thought, oh, technology, this is awesome. This is great. Noah didn't have this. You know, he didn't have that. All right. And then they came out with color computers. I mean, color printers. And then you could put color on those little sheets. Oh, I was the coolest preacher around when you first got the color slides. Man. I was at Jordan Park in Huntsville, Alabama in 2000. Elders came to me and I was still using the overhead projector and using those real nice color, you know, overheads, you know, and everything. Elders came to me and said, if we buy you a laptop, would you be interested in using PowerPoint? And I said, sure. I didn't know what that was. What's up with that? So they give me a laptop and I didn't know how to make PowerPoint presentations. One of the ladies there, she worked for CAS at the time, CAS, and her job was to make PowerPoints for all the head honchos that made speeches and stuff. And I handed her several of my sermons, and I said, would you mind making me some PowerPoints? And she made me some PowerPoints, and man, I flashed those up there, and I was impressed. I was impressed the fact that you could use a PowerPoint to preach a sermon. Digital technology can be useful as a tool. There are many great things that can be used. Just preparing for sermons now. I mean, I still have all the hard copy in regards to getting a concordance. And if I don't want to look up the word church and how many times it's used in the Bible, I can go down and I can start counting them. Or I can go to Bible programs that are on computers and I can punch in the word and it, just like that, it tells me how many times and where they're at and so forth. And I click on that one, there it is. I mean, it's awesome. You know, I've got hundreds of books in my library, and I like still holding a book in my hand, okay? But sometimes, one of the best ways to research something is through a computer program, and you can punch in some particular topic, and it'll give you thousands of references as to where that is referred to and talked about. Unbelievable, just like that. So, preparation for Bible classes and sermons that's a great tool. My first cell phone. I thought that was the coolest thing. Of course, it was about this big. I remember it was about this big. And I think we had like, we were cheap. We could only make like 15 calls a month or something, you know. But then it kept evolving, And finally, I got my first iPhone. I was serving as an elder at one of the local churches where I was preaching at. And one of our elders, he was a lawyer. And he would be in court lots of times. And we'd need to talk about something. Otherwise, I'd just text him. I'd text him while he's in court. And he would text me back. How cool is that? If I didn't have the iPhone, he didn't have the iPhone, we couldn't text each other, I'd have to wait, you know, till he got off work, you know, before we could ever talk. Great tools, right? Great tools. Is the use of digital devices a matter of right and wrong? As Christians, when we look at passages like Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Have you ever had a brother or sister just ask you, what do you think it's scriptural to have a cell phone? Do you think it's scriptural to have a computer? And please be advised, there were brethren that were majorly opposed to using a whiteboard or a blackboard in the day. I mean, using overhead projectors. There were fellas that would come to worship services, not where I was preaching, thankfully. But they would come to worship services, and if you used an overhead projector, they would sit there with their eyes closed the whole time. They wouldn't look at it. Why? Because they thought it was wrong. I can't imagine what that brother would think now. Right? But have you ever stopped to ask the question? Would it be, is it really scriptural? Does God approve of using all this technical stuff as tools? What we learn from God's Word is this. There are things that are commanded. There are things that are forbidden. And there are things that are liberty. And when you read the Bible, one thing is for sure. If you're doing something that God has forbidden, you have sinned. And when you read the Bible and God says do something and you're not doing it, you have sinned. But when God gives us a liberty or a freedom, like getting married, understand this. You do not have to get married. God does not command that. You can remain celibate. It's a freedom. It's a liberty. And there are people that choose that life. That's fine. The Apostle Paul is an example of that. All right? Eating meat. We'll refer to this passage again in Romans 14. It discusses that idea of the freedom to eat meat. Now, under the Mosaic law, there was some prohibition against the idea of eating certain meats. Under the new law of Jesus Christ, we find that that law has been lifted. And Jesus Christ and the apostles, through God's law, the new law, we can eat whatever meat we want to eat with thankfulness to God. All right? But what if someone says, I don't feel right eating pork? Well, then don't eat pork. Well, I'm just kind of a vegetarian. I just eat vegetables. Well, that's fine. You have the freedom to do that. When we look at the idea of liberties, we need to understand that using digital devices, as far as I understand, falls under the law of liberty. Now, if I'm wrong about that, you need to tell me. But I think it falls under the law of liberty. But when we consider the laws of liberty, even God's Word guides us in laws of liberty. All right? There are rules about liberties and freedoms. And we look just briefly at that. We need to consider, according to Romans chapter 14, and I'm not going to go and read all of that because I feel like that clock is just racing, racing, and racing. What time is it? 27 after? Yeah. Slow that thing down, man. It's running crazy. Okay, I got to hurry. Y'all buckle your seatbelts. Here we go. You cannot violate your or others' conscience when it involves a freedom or a liberty. And specifically in Romans 14, what does he talk about? Eating meats. All right? So if someone believes that eating particular meat is wrong, I'm not going to have them over to my house and serve them that because they, in their conscience, feel like it's wrong. Although it's a liberty, we have the right to make a choice. We understand from God's word that we cannot lead others to sin, cause them to stumble. So when we talk about digital technology, we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to cause anybody to sin. And I certainly don't want to cause myself to sin by using a freedom or a liberty. And the only way you can go through that, you have to go through a little bit of mental gymnastics. And I think this is probably where lots of us fail on lots of different areas of topics, is the fact that we've just never sat down and thought about it. I've had brethren time and time again on the most simplest of topics in Bible topics, after I've talked about it or preached about it, they come, "Brother Slee, I never did think about that. I've never thought about that." Well, we need to think about it. Especially if you're involved in it, if you're doing something, you need to think about the rightness or the wrongness or the liberty of it. And if it is indeed a liberty, you need to do a little self-check. Paul says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Here's my challenge to you. By way of the elders asking me to present these lessons. Digital addiction. Are you or are you not addicted? Defend yourself. That's what this passage is saying. Now, you don't have to defend it to me. Please don't. You have to defend before God. All right? Just like we do anything else. If I was to ask you, are you worshiping God today from the heart? Well, you don't need to come and tell me whether you are or not. Well, who do you answer to about that? God. So you answer to God. So examine yourself. Test yourself. And that's what these lessons are designed for. How much time do you spend looking at a screen? Write it down. Think about it. Compare the time spent praying, reading your Bible, and worshiping God. And why is that significant? When we talk about giving on the first day of the week, one of the things that I have suggested and others have suggested is that maybe since God didn't give us a specific number or a specific percentage or a specific how much, you're supposed to give cheerfully, not grudgingly. But I still have brethren come, "Brother Slee, how much do you think I ought to give?" They want me to tell them a number. All right? And one of the ways I say, well, maybe this is the way you can kind of go through the mental gymnastics of it. Compare how much you spend on sports or recreation or going out to eat or just do a little comparison. What does that have to do with the price of rice in China? Well, it has to do with this. Would we, and I remember this little cartoon, I forgot now where I saw it, but a little cartoon, and this dad and this little boy sitting there, and they've eaten at a restaurant, and the dad is giving the waitress a tip. And the little boy just commented and said to his dad, said, "Dad, do you think it's right to give her a bigger percentage tip than you give God?" I thought that was an awesome question. That's an absolute awesome question. I mean, there are people that go out to eat and wouldn't think a thing about giving 15 or 20% to the waitress, especially if she's friendly. And she gives you, you know, plenty of iced tea. But give 15 or 20% to the Lord? Are you kidding me? Our preacher makes enough money as it is. He don't need me to give no more. And we go through that rationale. Well, how much time do you spend on the screen versus a couple of times you spend actually talking personally with family and friends? Now, sometimes there's distance. You can't be with them personally. Talking to them on the phone, FaceTiming, etc. It's an awesome thing. It's a great thing. But what has happened is that we're so involved in our digital technology, we're sitting in the same room and we're texting each other when we could be talking to each other. That's crazy, right? People do that? Have you ever tried to cut back from digital devices and couldn't? And yet you got the philosophy, I can quit anytime I want to. I tell you what, if you can quit anytime you want to, and I would say this to a heroin addict, I would say this to people who smoke, drink, dope, inject, or whatever. If you think you can quit anytime, then quit. Show me you can quit. Just quit. Just stop right now. And don't do it for a week. And you will tell yourself a whole lot about you. Has anyone ever told you that the use you use digital devices too much? Anybody ever told you that? Wonder why they did. Has your spouse, parent, child ever gotten angry with you because of the time spent on a device? Why would they do that? Well, they're just grumpy old people. Really? Maybe there's a real reason for it. What does God's Word teach us about addictions? Last couple of moments, I won't. My wife is always fussing at me. She says, you spend too much time on your introduction, you have to rush through the end. And I've spent too much time on my introduction, I got to rush through the end. Again, so I'm consistent. Last 5 minutes, here we go. Here we go. Does the Bible have anything to say about being addicted? Not just the digital technology, but anything. Anything. Yeah, it has something to say about practicing self-control. In the list of Christian graces, commonly referred to, 2 Peter 1. Add to your faith knowledge, your knowledge, self-control. What is self-control? I don't know, I'm out of control, man. Well, if you're out of control, you don't have self-control. You're able to control self. Can you control self? Well, Paul said it this way. Not buffet your body, but buffet your body. Beat it black and blue. No, you're not supposed to be a masochist. But what you are supposed to be able to do, you're supposed to be able to control yourself, whether it's eating, whatever it is. You have the ability to say no. You have the ability to walk away. You have the ability not to do it. So, how would you know if you had self-control? Is it really profitable? Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, it might be lawful, but is it profitable? Some versions put expedient, which simply means profitable. Is it beneficial? All right. Some things we do, even with digital technology, is just playing and having fun. And there must be moderation about that. Obviously, in our lives, our whole life is not supposed to be all work. Sometimes you have to rest. Sometimes you have to play. Moderation in all things. Moderation is the result of self-control. So the reality is, you have to look at as what is profitable. There are people who work too much and they're killing themselves. There are people that are resting too much. They're not working. They're killing themselves. There are some people that play too much. You get the idea? All right? Is it harmful to us? Is this hurting me? Is it hurting me? Well, there's lots of ways it can hurt you. It can hurt you emotionally. It can hurt you psychologically. It can hurt you physically. It can hurt you spiritually. Now you really got to look into self in order to figure this out sometime. Well, maybe it would be easier if somebody just come up and said, man, this stuff is driving you nuts. You need to stop doing that. Then he says, mind your own business. Okay, if I mind my own business, who's minding your business? God's minding your business. The elders have a responsibility to mind your business. That's why they ask these lessons. And not that they're trying to be the Gestapo, but yet as shepherds, they're concerned about you and your soul before God. What about my influence? I had planned to bring my cell phone and get the earplugs and bring my little Surface pad and I was going to come up and have the ball game on and while I was preaching and answer the phone and do all as a tactic so you'd listen to illustrate that. Would that hurt my influence as a preacher? If I've got earplugs in my ears during a night service and I get so excited, I say, "Go Cubs! Yes! Oh, excuse me." And the Lord said,
"Go Braves."
Would that hurt my influence if I'm listening to the Cubs game? Or I just threw that up. I'm not a big baseball fan anyway. But do you think that would hurt my influence as a teacher of God's Word? Oh, and I got my cell phone and somebody texts me and I said, "Oh, right in the middle of the lesson. Hold a second. This is guy that's wanting to buy my car. I need to send him, this minute." Then what's the difference you sitting in the pew doing the same thing? What's the difference? Does it have an influence issue? And are you overcome with it? Paul said in Romans 12, he says, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." You say, "Well, wait a minute, brother. So you already said digital technology is not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of liberty." That's exactly right. But if you're using a freedom and it's causing you to do evil, then you have been overcome by the devil. And you're going to have to put a stop to using some liberty that causes you to sin. Am I supposed to quit? I guess so. Babies are coming in. Time to quit. All right. I think there's one last point. You can't overcome by faith. I don't want this to sound trivial, because it's not. It's the gospel. Whatever a person is overcome by, he can overcome any of that by faith in God. We'll stop there. Thank you for listening.